Good evening. Hi, everyone, and happy Sunday. You know, it's Nadia's World, of course, with your girl, Miss Nadia. On this episode, we are going to conclude Quiet on Set and pick up from where I left off. And we also have more information, new information that I pretty much got yesterday, from Friday into yesterday. So I kind of wanted to make sure I had all the information I needed to kind of really pretty much put things out. So before we get started, of course, you know, I have to bring you bad news. If you're not familiar with this name, I think you should look it up. But anyway, record producer Rico Wade passed away on Friday. If you're not familiar with his name, he is a part of the production team, the production team of producers. They are Organized Noise. Organized Noise is a three crew production team that includes also Sleepy Brown. If you're not familiar with Sleepy Brown, look up his work. He's pretty good. He raps, he writes, and sings too. Hello. So yes, Rico Wade was a producer, part of Organized Noise. Now, if you're not familiar with Organized Noise, they are the pinnacle of Atlanta. Okay. So when we think of Atlanta, besides the culture, we know all about the music. Hello. They pinned TLC's Waterfalls. Okay. He also came up with production work with also, Sleepy Brown and the other gentleman, for Outkast and countless others, including Mr. Too, not Mr. Mr. Y'all know the group. Hello, with Bobby Valentino. Come on with it. So, and he also kind of put the production work of the pianist on the Fab Four, now the three trio of En Vogue. And y'all know the song "Don't Let Go Love" from the Set It Off soundtrack, which is not only featured on the soundtrack, but was also on their album EV3. Y'all remember that? So, Rico Love passed away this past Friday. The cause of his passing is undisclosed. We don't know. And he was 52 at the time. So, yes. May he continue to rest in peace. And he left a body of work behind. So, yeah, you play those records, he's a part of that production, just to let you know. Okay. We're going to move right on into where I left off at on Quiet on Set. Okay. To wrap up things on the fifth, like I said, we were on the fifth part of the documentary that aired a week ago. And it was pretty much giving an overview and what you could say the cast of everyone coming forward and specifying what has changed since they pretty much have gave their experiences on working not only on Nickelodeon itself, but also being under the duress of Dan Schneider, which we stopped at the point and the moment that pretty much caused for Brian and his mom to kind of depart, which was, in his words, saying that it wasn't his fault nor his mom, but it was Dan Schneider himself that pretty much was setting him to get up out of here. Just pretty much, you know, had his own ownness towards that, which caused him not to work at, which caused him not coming back on the season and all that stuff that spiraled. So again, with them now being back on track, and just knowing that that moment didn't define them and should not have defined them, knowing that they're back on track with each other and just moving forward. And not only just understanding his story and understanding the old, not that being just one inkling that defines him, but moving forward into who he is now. Of him speaking of his experience and just keeping the conversation going, because at the end of the day, this can't be just talk. It has to be both action, but also you can see that in a way that they were kind of put on the spot and it was very uncomfortable, especially with them going into, you know, Dan Schneider having that interview and him saying things. But one comment that blew me away, which I thought was right on the money, is when Brian said that, you know, Dan is an actor. You know, he acted this part out. I was like, yo, that's true. He is. Because like I said, if y'all not familiar with him, y'all do remember him from Head of the Class. And he was an actor before he went into, you know, doving into being all of this stuff that he did previously. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it comes back from that part, too. But I also say that not only he was type, you know, he was kind of, you could see his nerves was, you could see he was a little bit nervous, but I think Giovanni was a little bit nervous too, because it was kind of like they were picking and choosing what they were going to say and stuff of that nature. Kind of seemed a little uneasy. And again, like I said before, previously, it takes people a lot of time, especially if things of that nature have happened. It takes a lot for them to come out with it, and it's still kind of unsettling. And even though they have gotten certain things out, there are probably more to divulge. And then it kind of feels like, okay, if I'm in front of someone, let me make sure I'm saying the right thing and not, but also they have to be comfortable saying those things and not picking and choosing and kind of pulling back a little bit. And I think that, you know, with not so much Brian, but I do think with Giovanni, I think that her nerves were unsettling a little bit because she was trying to, you know, find the words and the nervousness, and you kind of seen it written on her face a little bit and through her body language a little bit also. It was kind of like, you know, a little off-putting, you know. But we definitely wish both of them the best. We're happy. You know, I'm glad that, you know, Brian and his mom are definitely continuing. I wouldn't say back on track, but I'm glad that they're continuing their journey because, you know, life is life sometimes. And unfortunately, there's good things and there's bad things, but you just have to keep on keeping on and, you know, never be afraid of shit. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Speak up on it. Speak out. Let it be told, let it be learned. It is what it is. People need to be held accountable. And in this case in point, more talks behind this needs to be spoken about. So, also, let me get his name right. Shane Lyons also came forward about his experience and how he kind of got into action with Brian Peck. That at the same time, he wasn't called back. He was on all that as well. And he was there for 2 years. And I guess his contract was up. And his contract never got renewed for him to come back. So he said at the time that he was getting out of Dodge, he was 15 into 16. And Brian Peck brought up a conversation with him that he thought was just very explicit. And it's like, how do you sit down with a teenager and talk about something of that point? Was discussing him about, I guess, when a man's genitalia, they get kind of backed up a little bit. He kind of went that route. And I think most of you guys know when I say that in this content. So how are you, a grown man, discussing that dialogue or that dialect with a teenager, with a child, an underage adolescent, that like they would know of that? Like, are you their parent to explain and be explicit with them? No. He just knew that that was inappropriate and it was kind of off-putting. It wasn't off-putting. It was weird. He knew that was wrong and he was like, are you kidding me? So he also said that there needs to be more conversations of this and the laws and rules need to be applied because, yes, there are loopholes when it comes to the industry that children are not protected. And then when you have people who are not given background checks and there's some kind of, like they say, loophole or some kind of undertone that they're able to just fly under the radar. They're not red flagged. They're flying under the radar that they're able to get around children. And just because they got on this network, they're on another network, which is meaning when they're found out, somebody needs to put the bug out to make sure that they don't get to that next network. So they pretty much was going into things. I mean, I think Soledad did okay, but I think when it came to, the kids, when it came to certain, I think she did a good job overviewing kind of things, but I think when it came to certain comments, like she would say, oh, you know, there's a lot of snickering going on. Again, you have to understand that everybody's still nerves are kind of, woo-hoo, because again, this documentary, I guess, took place, I'm not saying it could have took months back. This is being aired in real time now, and y'all are doing this now, okay? Everybody is still, again, you got social media that picked up on this. You have this being streamed. You have this being played. This documentary, not to be funny, was played for days on end. So people who did not sit to see that on Sunday got to see it on Monday. People didn't get to see it on Monday. They got to see it on streaming services. So again, then you have social media. You have the morning talk shows that picked up on it. And you had some of them come to the morning shows to speak about that. And now they're speaking about this in real time. So it's out. So again, with people's nerves and how they handle things are a bit different now. Because again, this is a huge transition, and it's a lot of things coming out, and then you also have to make sure there's, and you also making sure that more things don't infiltrate and things really come out to play. And of course, you as a human being, you have to protect your energy, your spirit, your purpose, and what you're trying to send that message to. And also, you're trying to work through that. Excuse me, I don't know what's going on. So it's a lot of components. So again, you know, I just think when it came to Soledad, I think that, you know, her commentary kind of came off a little, I wouldn't say snarky, I wouldn't say rude, but it was kind of like you were kind of finding anything to kind of say, to kind of, I wouldn't say, it's not uncomfortable, it's kind of making them uneasy a little bit. Because when you're interviewing someone and they find it and their nerves are already on 10, you have to find a way to calm them down and let them have, and I'm not saying, and let them have their moment, because this is their moment. This is their moment to specify what happened to them. So if you hear a sigh or a silent part or a snicker or a kind of or a change in the face, let them have that. That's their experience. They're not a kid anymore. They're an adult. So if they feel like they're in a space where they're supposed to feel comfortable, and whoever the interviewer is, it comes off a little rude and abrupt a bit, because it's like you're trying to, I wouldn't say shade them, but you're trying to be like condescending about it, a little, you know, snarky. So I think with Soledad, she did as best as possible, but I think it could have been a little bit more leeway. And you have to understand that. So, in that aspect, I do, you know, that aspect I will give her for. And I think some people she was on it with, and then some it was kind of like, and you kind of felt that they were a little bit taken aback a bit. You know what I mean? In the case of Brian and Giovanni, you kind of felt that they were like holding back. Like I say, with Brian, not so much, but with Giovanni, yes. Yes. I will say that. And I think her answering the question about Brian, about what's his name coming out and trying to write a letter, which kind of, you could see the vacantness in her face, like that really made her uncomfortable even to ask that question, and to kind of pick and choose her wording and how she was going to say it before she was even going to say it. So yeah. Okay. So we're going to get to the flip side of this, because this is what transpired. Now, previously when the documentary came into fruition, when the documentary was already here or whatever the case may be, television host, y'all know, y'all familiar with Mark Summers. Mark Summers did Family Double Dare, Celebrity Double Dare, Regular Double Dare. Okay. He was under the consumption that he was going to speak about the positives, the positivities of Nickelodeon, being that it was for kids. They were there to entertain, take away the day. It wasn't so much parental advisory. It was all about children, which in technicality, that's what Nickelodeon was all about. All about children. Children rule. The number one network for children. That's what the that's what the mantra was back in the early 90s. That's what it was all about. Nothing but kid television approved. So he was under the consumption of speaking about that. But when he was given something, I think it was a little thing to see, that little clip about what Ariana Grande was doing in Victorious with juicing a potato. He was like, wait a minute. Is this what we do? What is this? Did this air? That he was annoyed behind it, and he walked off the set. Literally, he walked off the set. He said that he was not given clear notion about what the show was entailing. And, you know, Emma and Mary also said that they told Mark what the show was about, but I don't think you told him in detail. I think you meant well, but you really didn't give him the scoop. So that caused him to walk away, as he should, because again, if you're telling me one thing and you're doing the total opposite, or I'm misled about what this show is supposed to be about, now we're going to have a problem. Because again, I can't, because also Mark said he couldn't speak on working with Dan Schneider. He never met the man. So you're already in a place that you wasted your time, your energy of talking about something when you had no reason to speak about it, because you never met this person or worked with him or been around him. And not to be funny, when you're thinking of, like I said, when you're thinking of Nickelodeon, you're thinking of the goodness of it. You're not thinking so much of the bad, but then it did say the dark side of children's television. So when you're talking about the dark side of things, you're not speaking all sweet and lollipops and shit. You're thinking about what was the fucked up thing that pretty much tanked everything. What started from here, from point A all the way going up to Z. And that's where you're going with this. And you're being no holds barred in your face and stating the obvious and what should have transpired and what should have happened. And it shouldn't have dragged, because it dragged for this long. It dragged. And it should have been put a stop to and acknowledged. And it shouldn't have even gotten to it being a documentary about this when these things were happening in open sight. That's what we're trying to say. But lo and behold, is out here, is there, what are we going to do, and what needs to be done? Okay, so, also, and I don't know if it was on her social media panhandle, but Raquel Lee Ballou, as you can imagine, was visibly upset, visibly pissed off and irked. And she pretty much said that she is done with this whole acting thing, because she felt that quiet on set pretty much betrayed her trust. And what transpired was this. Now, in the clip that was aired last Sunday, she spoke about her treatment that kind of veered in the case of what happened to Angelique Bates. She said that, and that didn't make the cut, but it made last week's thing on the 5th. They did. Okay. What? Okay. Before we even go there, let's start from the jump. Okay. Raquel spoke about her tincture on being on the Amanda Show, and in one sketch, what truly happened. So that didn't air at that particular time. She was called before the show aired. She was told that what she revealed to them of her being mistreated and what happened was going to air on the fifth one. Raquel said that she was told too little too late the morning of, before it was supposed to air, and she wanted to be there to give her take on it, just to kind of wrap up. And she was supposed to be under the point of her being there to specify what was going to happen moving forward. What has she taken away from this experience, and pretty much what can happen forwarding in her life and moving from this, you know what I'm saying? So she was under the impression of that, and that never happened. The part where she spoke about that aired, like I said, Brian and Giovanni were kind of taken aback a bit about it, because they were not expecting that either. You definitely know it was kind of like a shock, like, what the hell? So I can understand in a way her being pissed off about that, because you took what I said, aired it without letting me know. Not saying you used it without my permission, but again, you put what I said out there without me giving the okay, without me saying, okay, that's true. But I felt it's kind of like it's out there, but I don't get to back that up. And that's my truth, and y'all just ran with it without letting me know. So it's kind of like the trust is broken right there, which is understandable. And it took her to the left and just made her mad, and it pissed her off, like distrustment, because she said, you're acting the same way. She also said, you guys are acting the same way of what happens in this industry. It's kind of like taking my kindness for weakness and not giving a shit. And she just said, I'm done with acting, which I think is very sad. But again, these spaces that are supposed to make people feel comfortable, and then you kind of like, not in a way, but in a way, twist people's wording around, and not even giving them saving grace to say, okay, we're going to air this. We want you here. Or we're not airing it. Because it could have been like this. They didn't have to air what she said. And maybe in another document, or maybe not at all, she could have spoken on her behalf. That could have been a way they could have did it. And this is what I'm saying. Y'all can't say that y'all trust y'all. Y'all can't give people's trust and y'all do crap like this. Because that's what makes people not want to come out. And I'm not saying talk about it, but not be on camera or being with other people divulging all this information, and they're not there to clear things up or to say it for themselves or give a point of what they're trying to do with that change in their life and them moving forward in a positive direction. Not only so much understanding what happened from that, and it's not so much a learning experience, because at the end of the day, they were a child. They were supposed to feel respected, not neglected. They were supposed to feel like they were equal, and they wasn't treated equally. And now that being an adult, they can vouch for themselves and speak up for themselves and understand the validity and the value of who they are, color content or not. So, again, if platforms like this are going to gain trust of people who have been in situations that they're not, that as children, that they're not prepared for, I wouldn't say prepared for it, but they are in situations as children, and now that they get to speak about this and feel that they have a platform to talk about it, where they're not played against, their words are misled or misused, they're not there to speak on their behalf or speak for themselves or have it from a standpoint of where they're coming from to make not only themselves understand, but the audience they're trying to reach. And even beyond that, then what? And it would make anybody pissed off with that. But for her to just say, fuck it, I'm done with this whole acting thing because of that experience, I think that's kind of fucked up. And I think y'all foul for that. And I think that y'all need to hold some kind of accountability for airing that without her consent. Whether you told her beforehand, I don't think that was good enough. Y'all should have not aired it. It should have been dropped. It should not even have seen the light of day. Especially if she's not there to speak on her, if she's not there in person to speak on her behalf. Y'all could have had her on the damn phone. She could have had a phone. It could have been pre-taped or something like that. Pre-recorded or something like that. You want to have trust with who you talk to and who you speak about these matters. But you have to do it in a way that's respectable. Not handled with care. And handled with care. We're not talking delicately. But it has to be handled with respect. Because she trusted you guys with this. She trusted to come on this doc. She trusted enough within herself to trust you guys to come on this documentary and give her take, her experience. And you guys ran with it. And you blatantly disrespected her trust. You blatantly didn't give a fuck. Let's put it like that. And now she has to get out of sight of something that she loved to do because of this experience, which is fucked up in a sense. So, I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. And I will say this, because this is another thing that kind of gets annoying to me sometimes. I just think when it comes to the nature of the situation, when it comes to people coming forward about things that have happened within the industry, things within the industry of all industries, or even in life, I just think that people need to stop with I know my parents wouldn't have me do that because they protected me, or they this or they that. Not every parent wants to protect their kids. They do. I'm not saying that everybody has an intention to just give my child up on a silver platter. But if you have a person that looked out for you and protected you, then that's fine. Not everybody comes to that gate where their parent does not want to protect them. And again, this is a person's experience. So if you didn't experience that, hands down, you good. But if another person experienced that, don't shun them from that. That's their experience, not yours. You want to feel for them. You want to understand where they're coming from. But you also want to respect the fact that that happened to them. And whatever, if that may have not happened to you, that's fine. But then other things happen to you. You want people to respect that factor of you coming forward, you saying something about it. Because you have the right to do so. And nobody has the right to sit here and say, well, why you ain't say, shut the hell up. Whether I said it before, now, then, years from now, yesterday, tomorrow, or next week, I don't give a damn. I said it. Period. And I meant it. There's nothing up backing up me because I said something about my experience. If you didn't experience that, I would never, I couldn't tell you wouldn't want that. But be respectful in that sight to understand that things in the industry do happen. And things of that magnitude do happen. Let's not get that twisted for one second. It could be in the industry as a whole. Yes, you have people that are pretty much given in the couch's chair, are pretty much, you know, made passes at, made advances at, sexually, everythingly. You get a little extra on this if you do this for me, or you get to be on this if you do this for me, or favor for a favor. But it's flipped. Words are used many times over. So you have to really be really savvy with the words and the mannerisms of people. because this game, I'm not even saying this game, this industry is a piece of work, and it will take all of you if you're not grounded, and if you don't have people behind you that are backing you up, and I mean backing you up, like literally backing you up in your worth, in your money, in your morals, in your standards, in your validity. I mean, they are on it. They're telling you, this some bullshit. I smell some bull, and they speaking bullshit. Let's go. And you have to really make sure that once that's there, you can also. And another thing that Tracy said also about it, when it comes to if you feel that enough is enough, you can just walk away from it, because you rather have peace than chaos and destruction. And you have to feel that sometimes if this industry is just a lot, is just too much for you to even bear or to deal with, and you get into a place where it's going to make you hit the bottom of the bottom, get the fuck out. Period. Believe me, you'll think about it twice next time. You'll be like, nothing over my happiness and nothing over my peace of mind. And more importantly, thy sanity. And that goes in life in general too. So, that's it for us wrapping it up on this here. I'm finished for that point, but I'm just hoping that when it comes to the industry of children, that this is not just a conversation. It's not swept up under the rug. It's not seeing the light of another day, and we having more documentaries come out about this. Disney need to be right up on there too. They need to be some behind the scenes shit that we need to know about Disney. But this has to be continued, especially when it comes to the industry of children, because it's a dog eat dog world. It's terrible. And not only that point of the industry, but also every inside and outside, every nook and cranny of the industry generally. That's music, television, all that. Movies incorporated too. You're damn right. We got to get it all out, because it can't be another documentary. We can't look for another documentary to not have the conversations and the hard parts dealt with. And it has to be magnified with it. Not a fine tooth comb, but it got to be checked out. For real, because it's a problem. And it has to be for the next people that want to come through the door, what they're being put on. And I'm just thinking, like I said before, it needs to be a lot of workshops. It needs to be a lot of diversity. It needs to be a lot of checking on people with not only their mental state of mind, but their well-being. And I'm saying their well-being, we're talking ins and outs of how they're feeling as who they are. When we're saying diversity, it needs to be more diversity in indigenous people, Spanish people, Black people. We're talking about different shades of the rainbow. We're talking about from chocolate to brown sugar to albino to the Spanish, of the Mexicanos, to Puerto Ricans, the indigenous people. We're talking about even bringing Indian culture in there. It needs to be a fine validity of diversity, not just one person representing the whole entire nation, the whole entire race. No, it needs to be different shades of that rainbow, of that sector, to kind of build a standard of what we as a show and as a network want to launch into the rest of our lives with. We want to see diversity. We want to see different cultures, but we also want a place that people can grow and thrive, and people are understanding. They're not going to set you up to fail, and they're going to be like, oh hell no. You're going to feel like when you're coming to do your job, it's a place where you can grow and thrive, and not somewhere where you just try to run and hide, or try to get the hell out, or you know, try to do good and stay out of the radar because your boss is a jackass or a raging lunatic, and he does things to his own team, not only the people that work for him, but the people that have to put up with his crap 24/7 behind the scenes and shit like that. Unbelievable. So yeah, it just needs to be not more talking, but more doing, more awareness, and definitely more discussions, and definitely change. There needs to be change within this industry, drastic, from coast to coast, from state to state, inside and outside, from here to Timbuktu. There needs to be changes that everybody on the board is on the same thing. It's not one state does this differently. No, everybody needs to be on the same level playing field, because this is what we're working with. So, yeah. But that's pretty much what I got for you guys as this episode goes. I will have a new episode for you very, very soon. Not too soon. But I'm glad you guys hung in here with me. You know, I love you guys truly, madly, deeply. I thank you guys for rocking it with me. Y'all been with me. Have we been on this journey? We've been on this for a while. But I thank you guys for rocking with me my day ones. I appreciate y'all. For my new viewers, thank you too. So until then, I'll catch you on the next trip or around here somewhere. Stay safe. Later.